Good morning. My name is Morgan Emby, and our scripture reading today comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea, and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, mothers are major dominoes in our life, are they not? I sure if I could tell you all the domino moments that my mother has created in my life, you could also resonate with that too. In fact, all of us have this in common, and this unites us, that we have mothers that have been dominoes in our life. Amen? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here. And we continue on in our series, The Domino Effect. Mothers are the two-inch domino, actually, that give us life and bring us and start us off with this small moment in our lives and bring us into this world. The domino effect is about how this small two-inch domino can topple over another domino 1.5 times its size and continue to go on and knock over really large dominoes, as large as the Eiffel Tower. And the last 3 weeks, we have been doing this domino effect through the book of Colossians. And we've been talking about how when we get the first domino, the two-inch domino, the first one is the fact that we have an encounter with the risen Christ, encounter with the ascended Christ, and that proximity that we have towards Christ is the first domino that we are to get. And when we get that domino, we got Christ in you is the next domino, or Christ in you all, or all y'all. Remember that last week? All y'all. And this week, for domino number 3, we'll be talking about Christ in us. Christ in us. Christ is in you. Christ is now in us. I seen some major dominoes falling last Sunday. After I left here last Sunday, I got the opportunity to travel and be a part of Zephyr Hills Correctional Institute Kairos program. I traveled over there to be with the inmates who had just gone through the Kairos program that happens twice a year there. In that facility, there are 800 inmates, and 35 of them get the opportunity to go through this 3-day intense program called Kairos. It's just like our walk to Emmaus for those who are not incarcerated, but it's inside the jail. And these inmates get the opportunity through volunteers to interact with what it means to get these dominoes in their lives. And I had the opportunity and the privilege to go. I signed all the forms and did all the things that you need to do. And as I walked into the chapel that had been donated, there was a resounding song coming from it, and grown men singing the praises of God. And Joe, who I went with, Joe Lowry, who's a prison ministry that you gave so faithful to last month for the program, he says, I want you to meet somebody. And I walked in there and I met this guy, and he says, oh, Keith, I've been dying to meet you, he says. I started to talk about it. He's like, yeah, I know all about you. Joe told me all about you. I know where you're from. I know what you're doing. He says, I can't wait to meet you. I've been waiting to meet you for 9 months because I got the opportunity to complete my master's in divinity while he was inside. And we were in the kitchen, and he's cleaning the dishes in the kitchen. He's like, yeah, man, I've just felt this opportunity to tell others about this too. He says, and this guy here, this guy who was also washing the dishes, he's like, he's just finished his AA, and now he wants to go back and do his GED because he's so excited about how he's being educated. He says, come over here, come over here. And he showed me this humble little plaque on the wall. And on the wall was pictures of of graduates dressed in inmate garb. And on top of the inmate garb, it was a graduate robe and a hat, you know? I said, these guys, see this guy? He got his master's as well. This guy, yeah, he never thought he could be educated. Yeah, and I've got involved in a program. We have professors come in from other schools and other seminaries, and they come in, teachers. And I've got so involved in it that now I'm teaching. I never thought I'd do that. And this guy was just so excited about the opportunity that he'd been given. And we walked into the chapel. We sat down, Joe and I. We sat down in the chapel, and men started to give their testimony how they'd understand these dominoes that we are talking about. One guy stood up and he says, I'm 65 years old and I've never known what it's like to have a relationship. He says, I've been married 5 times. My mother was married 4 times and our entire family, we've never known how to have a relationship until this weekend. You are all now my relationships. You are my brothers in Christ. He was this, like, you know, attitude kind of guy, but he knew the love of Christ. He knew that first domino. He knew that Christ was in you, and he knew that Christ was in us. Another guy stood up. He says, I don't normally stand up and talk in front of people. I'm 29 years old, and wasn't sure what he wanted to say. And then he says, actually, I haven't cried since I was 10 years old. This is the first time I cried this weekend. Another guy who was in a wheelchair, he says, I'm 49 years old and I have the largest ego and I thought my ego could get me through life until this weekend. You have shown me the love of Christ. And through this moment, I look around in the small chapel that we're in, and grown men's shoulders were shaking like this because they were sobbing. There wasn't a dry eye in the house as people talked about their encounter with Christ, how they knew that Christ was in them and in you, and how that was unifying. You ever have a unifying group of people that you're in? I don't know, maybe there's a common interest that you have. Maybe it's interior decorating. Maybe it's knitting. Or maybe it's a sport, cycling, football, or boulet. Maybe it's something, and when you all get together, when you all join together, you're like, ah, now I get it. That was the feeling that we had at the Zephyr Hills Correctional Institute. We get it. These 35 men get it. And our hope and prayer is that recidivism comes down and that these men graduate not just from the program, from Kairos, but also graduate through the gates and out and be a vital member of the community. Amen? What is it that unifies us? What is it what gives us unity? What is it that Paul wants us to know about that gives us unity? Morgan read our Colossians scripture for today, and we're gonna go there. If you've got your Bibles with you, open it to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're gradually working our ways through Colossians. It's Paul's letter to Colossae, the Christians in Colossae, who Paul has not planted this church, but the church he planted, somebody out of there planted it. And he has been writing to these people and encouraging them with what it means to be. And funny old thing, Paul is where? Paul is in prison. And he says these words, chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church and for many other believers and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him, the hidden treasures, in him lie the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul, once again, he already said it in chapter 2. He says, I'm agonizing for you all. I'm agonizing for you, Colossae, and the church down the valley. Down the valley, down from Colossae, was this other church called Laodicea. And he never met them neither, but he agonized for these people. So he agonized that they would know this core thing that would help them be unified. And we're going to get to what the core thing is. But he'd never met these people, and he agonized both for Colossae, both for Laodicea, and probably the other inmates in the prison with him, right? He says, I agonize that you might just get this one thing. Like, that you would get that this is the thing that unifies you. This is the thing that's really important. He knows that he's never met them personally. He's never seen them face to face. Yet he wants for them to know what's going on in his life could help with their life. I'd never met my inmate friends. I'd never met the guy that came and said, oh, I'd be dying to meet you. I don't even know this guy. But there was a common bond. There was a delight in the fact in one thing. Now, if you don't remember any other verse from this series, I want you to remember this next one we're going to do. Chapter 2, verse 2, like the domino, right? 2-2, like the domino, 2-2. Remember this verse. What does Paul want for Laodicea? What does he want for Colossae? What does he want for us? And what does he want for his fellow inmates? Here it is. I want them to be three things. I want them to be encouraged. I want them to be knit together. And I want them to know the strong ties of love. If you remember no other verse, remember this one. I want them to be knit together. I want them to be encouraged. And I want them to know the strong ties of love. What is it that makes us feel like us? What is it that makes us feel, oh, this is us. This is who we are. I had nothing in common with the inmates in the presence in the correctional facility. I don't know anything about their background. I don't know what they've done, what they haven't done. They don't know me. I have hardly anything relatable to these men that were in this prison. But we had one thing. The love of Christ. And the love of Christ was unifying us as we walked in. As we walked in, we knew what it was that we were there for. And Paul says, I want you to know these, and I want you to know them as treasures of wisdom. In your unifying groups, are you encouraged? Mothers always encourage us, amen? No matter what we're doing wrong, no matter what we're doing right, they always encourage us. Is the group that you are in encouraging you? Do you feel encouraged and lifted up, exhorted in your relationship? Do you feel knit together with those people? Some of you knit. You know how hard it is. Knit one, pull one. You've got the wool falls off the knitting needles, and it's hard to create something that you want. It's hard to create that sweater or that blanket, and it takes a long time before you can create that unity. He says, "I want you to be knit together." There's a fun Greek word there, symbazio. It's where we get the word symbiotic, when things all merge together. He says, I want you to be knit together and symbazio together. I want you to know this power of this particular Christ in you and Christ in y'all. I want you to know this mystery, he goes on to say. I want you to know this great mystery that we talked about last week. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There's tons of wisdom out there right now. Tons of people telling us, even on the meditation app, lots of people helping us to get us to different levels of wisdom. There is lots of knowledge, even on the things that you've got in your hand that give us updates every 3 seconds about what's going on, sports updates, news updates, tell us what. Here's some more knowledge. But Paul's not talking about that kind of knowledge. Paul's not talking about that kind of wisdom. He's talking about the wisdom that was in my inmate. It's the mystery of Christ. And you all know the mystery of Christ. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And this was the mystery at work, and this is the mystery that Paul was communicating to his fellow Christ followers in Colossae. This treasures of wisdom, these mystery, not leaked information, but stuff that you know in your heart and in your gut. Says, this is what's going to unify you. This is what is going to be symbiotic amongst you. These three things I want for you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be knit together. I want you to know the power of this love. And I want you to feel absolute unity. I want you to do this through the strong ties of love. And this is what he says all the way through this message and all the way through the scripture. It's Christ's love that goes on. And he says, I'm telling you this. He goes on in verse 4 to say, I am telling you this. So no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should. And that your faith in Christ is strong. I am telling you this so that you will not be deceived. Elsewhere he says, hollow and deceptive philosophy. Back then, the Gnostics were around. The Gnostics were saying that Christ was a nice spiritual being. They said that the flesh, the body, anything of the body was evil. They didn't recognize that God could be man in the form of Jesus Christ. And we have some today deceptive and hollow philosophies, don't we? I'm sure if I left you a space here for you to tell me them, there's lots of deceptive and hollow philosophies. Whether you're all over here on the right side of politics or all the way here, all over here on the left side of politics, there are some hollow and deceptive philosophies, amen? Paul says, I don't want you to be with them. I don't want you to pay attention to them. I don't want you to think about these things. The Gnostics, they can go with their own thing, but I want you to know this. I want you to know this mystery. I want you to know this amazing thing that's happening in your life. I want you to know the power of Christ's love at work. Don't pay attention to those mysteries. Don't pay attention to those hollow and deceptive philosophies. Well-crafted arguments that sound great. Don't pay attention to them, he's saying. He says, for I'm far away from you, yet my heart is with you. Those dominoes that you helped you in your faith, they might not be here anymore. Some of you, your moms or those dominoes that helped you to push over what it meant to follow Christ, they might be in another state. They might be in another country. They might have moved on to glory, amen? They might be sitting next to you right now. But we know these people who we have relationships with, who are strong in our lives, that are key domino players, if we were to catch up with them, if we were to call them or send them a note today, which you are going to do, you are going to make sure your mother knows that you love her today. Yes, yes. Okay, good. Just checking. You would be able to catch up right away. You know exactly where you'd left off. And that's just like Paul is saying here. He's saying, I'm far away from you, but I bet if I walked in the door, you'd be like, hey, Keith, so good to see you. So good to see you, Paul. Are you following in Christ's love? Are you following in his steps? Then praise God. It's so good to see you. My heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and that your faith in Christ is strong. We lost somebody in our community yesterday. Jerry Osborne went on to glory. And some of you were here, gathered here. We kind of had church yesterday as we celebrated the life of this man, Jerry Osborne. Jerry's life pointed to Christ while he was here on earth. Amen. And Jerry's life continues to point to Christ, even though he's not sitting next to his wife today. His whole story from his daughter, from Didi, from people who knew and interact with him, is that he wanted everybody to know that he followed Christ, and his greatest wish at his funeral is that others would follow Christ too. And he would rejoice at that. And we've seen people here gathered here yesterday who remember his impact in his life. And they rejoiced that this man had what he'd left the earth, he'd left behind something beautiful. We rejoice that you are following Christ, says Paul. We rejoice that you are wandering nowhere but following Christ. And Jerry's mom is probably so proud of him right now. I'm going to ask Morgan to come up and help me with my dominoes. And you can welcome her to the stage if you want. This is Morgan. And our dominoes are getting more and more. Morgan is obviously domino number one. And we have got three dominoes now. Domino one was to have a proximity next to Christ, to have a proximity next to the ascended Christ. Domino number two was Christ in you. One person was there that Sunday. Christ in you, or Christ in you all y'all, use law. And this week is Christ in us. As these dominoes start to fall, as we start to understand them, and we're going to, a gentle push from Morgan is going to, as they fall down, we get to understand what Christ means for us. Thank you so much, Morgan. We get to understand what it is that's important for our lives. As Morgan knocked over number one, toppled, and you have to imagine that the number two is a little bigger, and number three is a bit bigger. The budget wouldn't allow for larger dominoes, sorry. But number three is Christ in us. And when we understand that, we're like, oh yeah, now I get it. Now I get that this spirit that is in each and every one of us, the spirit that the ascended Christ, that we're close to him, that's what is in me, in you. And then finally we're like, oh, it's when we all get together, maybe down the front a bit more, when we all get together, we notice that Christ is in us. And we rejoice at that. We rejoice that Christ is in us. The inmates knew this. The inmates knew this really well. And if the testimony of the inmates wasn't enough about Christ being in us, if the testimony of each of the people and the spirit and the rejoicing that was in there, the people have finally understood what it means to have a relationship, that actually that Christ did die for them, that actually Christ could be in an inmate's heart, that the Holy Spirit could move it in amongst them. If that wasn't enough, at the end of the gathering, went on for a while, at the end of the gathering, we all just like automatically spread out around the chapel. Automatically, we all spread out around the chapel and we're all holding hands of grown men. And we're standing around the chapel and all of a sudden, somebody starts saying, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." And we're all looking at each other in the eye. We're all looking at Christ in us as we look around each and every person is in there, whether they were in prison scrubs or not, whether they were in a shirt, whether they were pastors, whether they weren't pastors. We're just looking at each other in the eye like, this is amazing. Like, stop crying, you know, kind of thing. Surely the presence. We were singing this song. We sang the same verse twice. And the third one, the facilitator, the person who was in charge of Kairos, he says, "Let him hear us, guys. Let him hear us, men." And it went up another octave. And it lifted the... If we could have done, we'd have busted out of that prison that day. "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." And everyone was singing. It was such an amazing time. Like, clapped at the end. My prayer for us is that we too would understand, surely the presence of the Lord is in us. And that is domino number three today. Amen. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are in us. We thank you for the dominoes that have fell in our life so that we could be here right now today. We thank you, Lord, for moms and people like moms who have been there for us, encouraged us, that have been there, encouraged us and knit us together in unity. We thank you, Lord, for people who have helped us understand the love of Christ. And we pray, Lord God, that today we will go from here emulating that love that you've shown to us. And we ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And all of the people said, amen.